Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. Well, just when you thought you knew everything there was to know about the Beatles, Ron Howard has uncovered new things about the Fab Four for the upcoming documentary, The Beatles, 8 days a week, The Touring Years.
It's this ensemble tale of these young guys. They're boys at the beginning, they're men at the end, and they've been through an amazing journey.
The film traces John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr from 1962 to 1966, during the years that they became a phenomenon. Ron Howard was a kid at the time, playing Opie on The Andy Griffith Show, and he, like everyone else in our Not Old Better audience, found himself swept up in Beatlemania. Howard watched as the Beatles debuted on Ed Sullivan, toured the U.S., and eventually decided touring wasn't what the band wanted to do. We caught up with Howard in two interviews across a couple of time zones when he talked to us about his new movie, 8 days a Week, The Touring Years, from the Beatles. We're with Ron Howard. Ron Howard, of course, is the director of the new film, The Beatles documentary, 8 days a Week, featuring rare and never-before-seen footage from shows and interviews, lots of great material with Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, numerous others. I just have to say, it is wonderful music. It's great to see these guys all together. Tell us what your first memory is of the Beatles and where you saw them first.
When they performed first, I think it was on Ed Sullivan. I watched that. It was so important. Everybody tuned in. I mean, it was amazing.
Hello, my name is Paul McCartney.
This is Ringo Starr.
This is John Lennon.
I'm George Harrison.
And my birthday, my 10th birthday, what I wanted was Beatle boots and a Beatle wig. Parents couldn't find Beatle boots, but I got down at the dime store, Woolworths or someplace, they found a Beatle wig.
That's funny. So let's talk about the movie for just a second. And really the theme and the entire focus really is about this aspect of the Beatles' career, the touring part. And they were really these wonderful musicians. They were, you know, the musicians of the day. But they performed at larger and larger crowds. Isn't it true that they basically invented the stadium tour as we know it today? And they did that out of necessity?
Police and local governments told them that if they continued to play 10,000 person arenas, that they'd always have 30 or 40,000 people outside, kids outside clamoring. They couldn't control it.
It might be little known, but the Beatles really looked out for their fans, right? I mean, they stood up to U.S. law enforcement over issues like segregation, and you kind of talk a little bit about that in the movie. What was that really all about?
I didn't know that their first political stand, their first big controversial issue, involved what was to be a segregated concert in Jacksonville, Florida. And they said, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. They couldn't see the logic in it, of course, but they had no idea how controversial it was, but they stuck to their gun.
To me, and I was a kid during the Beatles' rise, and so were they, really. This is just such a great idea for a movie. Where did it all kind of start, though?
It's this ensemble tale of these young guys. They're boys at the beginning, they're men at the end, and they've been through an amazing journey. And the world, not just the country of the United States, but the world has gone through a transformative period as well.
So, really, of the many great projects that you've worked on, of course, winning Oscars for A Beautiful Mind and Apollo 13, what did it mean to you to do this project, creatively and personally?
Well, it's been very exciting, and I've learned a lot because it stretches me as a filmmaker to start to delve into the documentary world. And so that's something that myself, my partner Brian Grazer at Imagine, we've been doing more of that. And I think it's broadening me, you know, creatively. And it's also thrilling to get to, you know, interview Paul McCartney, interview Ringo Starr, and learn about this amazing story. Today, I mean, we're still working on it. In fact, today I'm going to be reviewing a sound mix, which is, I think, really going to blow people away, because part of the reason that we made the movie is that we can offer audiences this sort of live experience of what it was like to be there and witness the Beatles in a more immediate cinematic way.
My thanks to Ron Howard for his time and conversation. Now to the film itself. Let me begin by saying, once again, for all our Not Old, Better Show audience, that I grew up in this era, of course. I was born in San Francisco, and my family lived there in the Daly City community just above Thornton Beach. I say this because we lived fairly close there in South San Francisco to the Cow Palace and to Candlestick Park. Early on, I was clued into music and the acts that appeared at the Cow Palace, but definitely the Beatles at Candlestick Park in August of 1966, specifically August 29th, 1966. I didn't go, but I recall the babysitter who took care of me and my sister Janet talking about this concert. I still remember how expensive she thought the tickets were, priced at $4.50 to $6.50. By the way, even at those prices, the concert was hardly a sellout, with only 25,000 seats sold out of the 42,500 capacity at Candlestick Park. The film takes place approximately 2 years earlier, August 1964, and the concert is in Los Angeles at the famed landmark Hollywood Bowl Amphitheater. And here's something I find remarkable. There are only three professionally made recordings of the Beatles playing live in concert. Sure, there are bootleg recordings, but they don't sound very good. And many of you probably have seen this, there's a single microphone recording from the band's days performing in Hamburg in the early 60s, but that's it. So this concert at the Hollywood Bowl in 1964, which the film and the excellent new CD of digitally remastered, painstakingly crafted music memorialize, is just this wonderful time machine transporting us back to a time when the Beatles' amazing voices and music were everything for my generation. But the film shows a moment in time for the world when this music was an expression of young people all over the globe. The Beatles' excellent musicianship and charisma made them one of the greatest live bands of all time. And in the film, the Beatles, 8 days a week, the touring years, just as we've mentioned a few minutes ago, Oscar-winning director Ron Howard from A Beautiful Mind and Apollo 13 explores this history of the Beatles through the lens of the group's concert performances from their early days playing these small clubs in Liverpool and Hamburg to their unprecedented world tour in packed stadiums around the globe, from New York to Melbourne to Tokyo to San Francisco. The first feature-length documentary authorized by the Beatles since the band's breakup in 1970, 8 days a week, features rare and never-before-seen archival footage of shows and interviews, plus new interviews with Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and numerous prominent observers. Not only is there never-before-seen footage, home movies, and bootleg sound, but the entire film and the music has been digitally enhanced, as I say. The film, through this great sound, captures the exhilaration of the Beatles' phenomenal rise to fame, as well as the toll it eventually took on the band members, prompting them to stop touring altogether in August 1966, immediately following the concert in San Francisco at Candlestick Park, and devote their prodigious musical energy to the series of groundbreaking studio recordings for which they are best known today. The Beatles, whether performing live or on their recordings, never held anything back. They had no reason to. But the Beatles, due to increasing pressure of touring, had many reasons to cease live concert performances. And of course, while we can still see the cute one who's out touring now, and of course, Ringo is still very much with us, but for those of us not able to ever see them together live, this film, in its audio brilliance, along with mesmerizing video footage, recreates that magic. And it's guaranteed to raise a big smile on your face and well worth the price of admission. So maybe through the power of podcasting, I can track down our former family babysitter and tell her that, yeah, okay, these tickets, they're not priced at $450 to $650, but this movie is still a wonderful value. We will have links to where you can see the film, as well as lots of these great vintage photos of the Beatles, some of the posters from some of their tours, and of course, where you can purchase the music. So please, check it out. Thanks to everybody for their help on this show, especially Media Studio Edit and all of their hard work. I appreciate the chance to review these movies, so thanks to all who helped me with that. And enjoy the film. I think it's great to see the Beatles together again. The Beatles, 8 days a week, the touring years. Enjoy.